Grace to you and peace from God, our Heavenly Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Pastor Heiner did such a great job last week looking at the epistle lesson. I thought we would pick up where he left off. We're going to take a look at that epistle lesson, and specifically verse 6, where St. Paul says, "So we are always of good courage." This is our text. So Dan began last week by checking out how everybody was going. Is your life going well? Things over the last couple of days been nice and fine? Everything's going along perfect? Well, St. Paul asks and mentions in our text for today, "So we are always of good courage." Is that really true? I mean, I wonder how many of you are of good courage. You could also translate it as being of good courage or of good cheer or being totally confident. St. Paul is so certain of this idea that we are always of good courage that he says it twice. He says it in verse 6, "So we are always of good courage." And then he says it again in verse 8, "Yes, we are of good courage." Well, let me tell you, I wasn't feeling very courageous this morning at 5:30 when I got out of bed. I was just tired. And that's just being tired. I mean, what do I got to complain about? Many of you are in much worse situations than me. Lillian Wittick is having cancer surgery on Tuesday. Some of you are in constant pain. Some of you are struggling to pay your bills. Some of you are worried about losing your jobs. Some of you don't have jobs. Some of you are having problems with your spouses. Some are having problems with their children. Well, the person who doesn't have any problems in the world and is always of good courage, please stand up. Yeah, that's what I thought. So how can St. Paul say that we are always of good courage? Let's look at the text. And it wouldn't be a bad idea to have the text in front of you because I'm basically going through it verse by verse. So St. Paul starts out where we left off last week, saying that, "For we know that if the tent, which is our earthly home, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." And I would suggest that you take out that word "if" and cross it out and write in the word "when." For when the tent, which is our earthly home, is destroyed. Because unless you are Enoch or Elijah, you are going to die. That's just the way it is. This earthly home is going to be destroyed. It is described here as what we have waiting for us, though, is a home in heaven. After we die, we've got a home waiting for us in heaven, and it is described as a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. So when this life is over, we are going to be in heaven with God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So if you look at it that way, we do have reason to be courage. We do have reason to be cheerful. We do have reason to be confident because God has made a place in heaven for us that can never be destroyed. It was made by Him and it belongs to us. And then St. Paul goes on. "For in this tent we groan, longing to put on our heavenly dwelling." So you see, even before St. Paul says we have courage, he admits right here that we groan. He acknowledges that all Christians with faith in Jesus have reason to groan. And why do we have reason to groan? Because sometime or another, we are going to heaven. You see, we know what's waiting for us. We know how wonderful heaven is, and we know what's waiting for us. So while we're here on earth, we just naturally groan. I go out and visit our shut-ins, and I talk to them. And many of them tell me, Pastor, I pray every single night that God takes me home. And that just makes my heart melt. And I have to be honest, I've done the same thing. I love my life here. I love what I do. I love my wife and family. But there are times, usually in the dead of winter when it's 20 below, when I wish I were in heaven. I mean, think about it. There is no pain in heaven. There are no bills to pay in heaven. There's absolutely no reason to cry in heaven. There's no riots or murder or anything like that. Think of all the nasty stuff that we endure here on earth. None of those things happen in heaven. And so it's just natural for us as Christians to long to go there. But we do understand, we don't get to choose. God is the God of life, and He is the one who decides when it's time for us to go home. So Paul goes on, and he talks about being burdened, and he talks about being further clothed, so that what is mortal may swallow up life. And what he means by life there is eternal life, that what is mortal will be swallowed up by eternal life. And then he says, He who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. So if I understand this right, God has been with us, preparing us our whole lives so that we would get to go to heaven. And I'm sure that God has been preparing us to go to heaven, and He has given us the Holy Spirit as a guarantee that we will be in heaven. And so it's a progression. The Holy Spirit gives us faith. That faith is our ticket to heaven. And the Holy Spirit is our guarantee that we're going to heaven. And so St. Paul goes on. So we are always of good courage. We know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. So because we have the Holy Spirit as a guarantee, we can be of good courage. The problem is that while we're here on earth, we're away from the Lord. And yeah, I know we're not really away from the Lord. We're just not with Him completely like we will be in heaven. I mean, think of it. God is omnipresent. He is everywhere. He is active when we are connected with the means of grace. So when we hear God's word, when we receive the sacraments of baptism and Holy Communion, God is there with us. When we are here in church with God's people, God is here with us. But it's nothing, nothing like it will be when we are in heaven. And so the result is, yes, we are of good courage, but we would rather be away from the body and be at home with the Lord. So I think we can conclude that it is just natural for us Christians who know that heaven is dangling before us like a carrot in front of a horse. We just naturally long to be in heaven. And I think the text comes to its climax in the very next verse. St. Paul says, so whether we are home or away, we make it our aim to please Him. Why are we here on earth? We are here to please God. And how do we do that? Keeping the Ten Commandments, spending time in prayer, going to church, sharing our faith with people around us. These are the things that we do to please God. But the best way to please God is just to have faith in God, to have faith in Him, because that is the only way we get to heaven. And as that faith gets stronger and stronger, that faith produces good works that please God. And our text concludes, "We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether evil or good." Now let me ask you this. Does the idea of sitting before the judgment seat of Christ, does that lift up your spirits, or does it make you just a little bit nervous? I mean, the idea of being judged is always nerve-wracking. I mean, standing in front of Jesus, sitting on the throne, oh my gosh. But remember this, our sins are forgiven. Jesus Christ died for your sins. The fact of the matter is, you don't have any sin anymore. We are all dead to sin. There is nothing to punish, so there is nothing to feel guilty about. There just isn't anything there. I mean, think about it. Jesus is the one who is going to judge us. It was Jesus who died on the cross for us. How could Jesus, the one who died for us, punish us or make us feel bad about what we've done here on earth? The bottom line is, God's grace is so abundant that he rewards us even for the faith that he gives us that produces our works. And that faith is the guarantee that we are going to be in heaven. As we finish up, picture this. It's a beautiful day. Maybe like it was yesterday afternoon, about 3 o'clock. It was nice and sunny then. You're outside cutting your grass on an afternoon. And all of a sudden, over the sound of the lawnmower, you hear this huge, big blast of a trumpet. And you look up in the sky, and you see Jesus coming on a cloud. And suddenly you are met up in the clouds and you're standing there with everybody else that's ever been born and you're looking into the eyes of Jesus. I guarantee that I am going to be filled with joy like I have never felt before. But take a step back. You look in the sky and you see Jesus. But then you take a look quick look at your neighbor who's working in his garden, and he looks up in the sky and sees Jesus, and you see a look of terror and fear come over his face, because for the first time he realizes that there is a God and it's not him. He truly has reason to fear. Me, on the other hand, I'm standing before Jesus, watching him sit on his almighty throne. I anticipate that I'm going to be filled with joy and gladness by looking at my Lord and Savior in the eyes. I'm not going to be worried about my sin, because for the first time in my life, I fully understand the depth of Jesus' love and why he died on the cross for my sins. All I can think I could feel is an overwhelming desire to run up to his throne and give my Lord and Savior a big hug. In Jesus' name, amen. May the peace of God, which far surpasses all of your human understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, now and forevermore. Amen.
Amen. Let us confess.